Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
From KMOX Sports.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
Welcome to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Oh!
America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Tom Ackerman with you. Yes, indeed, Sports on a Sunday Morning is back. We were off last week. First time in, James, gosh, I can't remember the last time we didn't have a Sports on a Sunday Morning. It must have been. I mean, that's unprecedented. I don't ever remember it getting preempted. I don't know.
I don't remember that either.
But yeah. It was because of the final round of the Masters. It's a pretty good excuse, and we wanted to play it. And it turned out to be a good one. Dustin Johnson walked away with it. Joining us on the line is Post-Dispatch columnist Benjamin Hockman, and I'm bringing him in right away because I saw a column that he wrote today, and thank you for coming on such short notice. But, you know, I realized two things. First of all, good morning. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. To be honest, it's always an honor to be on Kim Watch.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. I realized two things. One, you wrote a great column about Stan Musial and his family. Two, you and I were in the same place yesterday and didn't see each other.
Yeah. Well,
I'm like, wait a minute, parade. Benjamin was there.
What a cool thing that was. What a cool guy we were celebrating. Stan the Man Musial, 100 years old. If he was still with us today, they called it the Stantennial.
It was. The Stantennial was downtown, and you had a chance to speak with some members of the family and had a great column about it. But I really enjoyed that down at Busch Stadium. The Stan Musial statue was the site. And you know, that sports commission, boy, I'll tell you, the St. Louis Sports Commission, they will not be stopped. They wanted to do the Musial Awards. They can't because of COVID. So they're still going to do it. And it'll air December 26th on CBS. Then they wanted to do something inside the ballpark on Stan's 100th birthday. Because of COVID, that had to be canceled. They would not be stopped. They said, we're still going to do something. We'll have a parade of cars come by and say hi to the family. It's that resilience that I'm sure Stan the Man enjoyed.
No question about it. Yeah, we are lucky to have the St. Louis Sports Commission, and they care. And then that's the whole point with the theme with the Stan Musial legacy is people care about spreading the word and making sure that the next generations realize that the man really was the man.
And I really enjoyed the fact that it didn't rain until the very end of that celebration. When the fireworks went off, it started to rain, and that's because Stan Musial told our God to hold off a little while while his family celebrated.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
They wanted it to be an official Stantennial. They needed at least the equivalent to 5 innings of the Stantennial to make it official.
Very good. Well, I love the column, and I wanted to direct people to it at stltoday.com. Stan Musial, think about this, Benjamin. What does he mean to the Cardinals' legacy? When you think about how many people became Cardinals fans because of him, that is what really blows me away.
Oh, no question. And obviously, we are on the vehicle that did it right now, the KMOX Airwaves, and they're Stan Musial fans in probably all 50 states, and they love the man, they love his abilities, but what's cool about his legacy is, and I said this to one of his daughters on the phone when we were talking, and I'm like, he could have been a plumber, and he would have been the nicest plumber and a very renowned plumber for just being a good human, and he was just that, except his job wasn't plumber. It was outfielder.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. I love it. And I love the fact that you were able to catch up with all of them. It's a great family. It's a great column. Musial's, what I always also find interesting coming off of what you just said is that we speak of Stan so much as a human being and as a family man and as a teammate, and sometimes not as much about his numbers. I know that his baseball numbers are in this column, and we know how great he was, but I love how the first thing when you talk about Stan Musial is the person.
Yeah. Yeah. And it plays into the awards, the Musial Awards. I mean, this man was so special that the awards aren't about his Hall of Fame career, and they aren't about people's abilities and talents, but they're about people's character and integrity. They're for sportsmanship. Pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And then as a player, it's amazing how his numbers still hold up. And as a lifetime Cardinal, just the greatest. Now, you could say that if Albert Pujols had remained a Cardinal his entire career, he eclipses those numbers, and he has some amazing numbers himself, but he did not. He chose to go to another team, and we celebrate Stan Musial as the greatest Cardinal ever. I'm going to lead you into Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright, two players that you've covered extensively. We don't know at this moment what their futures look like. John Mozeliak is going to come on next hour. I will tell people, though, that as we've said on the air before, he has a policy, and I understand it and follow it, to not talk about free agents. So we're not going to get into those players. And understandably, he's in the middle of negotiations, I'm certain, with a lot of different ideas and possible players. But from your perspective, Benjamin, what do you think about the future of Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright? And for that matter, Colton Wong, how do you see all of that playing out?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you right away with Adam Wainwright, I'm confident, if only because he wants a one-year deal. And he had a one-year deal the past 2 years. And you mentioned Colton Wong. And the fact is, because of the pandemic and because the Cardinals didn't have any revenue from fans last year in the stadium, they didn't bring back Colton Wong. And they're having to make tough decisions financially. But if they can get Wainwright for a one-year deal with a lot of incentives and things like that, I think it'll work out. Also, a team that would have been enticing to Adam Wainwright, the Atlanta Braves, signed a fifth starting pitcher just the other day, which means that he wouldn't be in the rotation if he signed with Atlanta, his home state team, if you will. As for Yadier Molina, that's a trickier one. Clearly, Yadier Molina wants to come back and be a Cardinal forever, but he also wants to get paid well, and he wants to be respected from that standpoint, and he wants a two-year deal. That's a trickier thing during the pandemic. And the reality is some New York teams need catchers and have big money. And the Cardinals have Andrew Kisner, who's an up-and-coming young catcher. So that's going to be a very interesting and possibly frustrating storyline.
And then final thing, looking ahead at Cooperstown as Hall of Fame voters prepare, as they have their ballot, what do you think about Scott Rolen's chances?
Well, I think if you're asking me, Benjamin Hockman, I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. If you're asking me what do I think is going to happen this year, it's hard for me to anticipate, Tom, someone to go from around 35% of the votes to 75% of the votes in 1 year, though I am acknowledging that the ballot is thinner. But here's thinking that at some point, Scott Rolen, who's already in the Cardinals Hall of Fame, we'll be in Cooperstown as well.
Yes, sir. And looking forward to all of those discussions. Thanks for covering a few baseball topics with us. Great column today. I wanted to direct people to it. Front page of actually the bottom fold of the sports page of the Post-Dispatch. A perfect way to remember Musial at 100. Well done covering it, Benjamin. Appreciate the time very much.
Always fun talking to you, Tom. Take care, man.
Great to have him on Sports on a Sunday Morning. When we come back, Garage Happy Hour with Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. was pretty special, but we'll get you updated on a few things that happened in sports and then go to that interview, a little bit of that. Travis Ford, the SLU coach, with us at 10:45. At the top of the hour at 11, we'll get a little more into football, college football, NFL, and at 11:30, John Mozeliak will switch the topic back to baseball on Sports on a Sunday Morning, the Cardinals president of baseball operations. At 11:45, Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of Missouri, gets a nice win on the road yesterday against South Carolina. We will have that for you. And Illinois with a strong win as well. That's coming up next. We'll talk about the Illini. It's 10:15. Sports on a Sunday Morning continues right after this.
on KMOX Sports.
Here's the pitch.
Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Tom Ackerman back with you. It's 10:19. We have at 10:45 head coach Travis Ford of the Billikens. St. Louis University is back on KMOX. We have Billikens games upcoming. They're the openers Wednesday. Billikens will play at 6 o'clock on Wednesday at Chaffetz Arena against SIUE. That happened quickly. They were supposed to go to Nebraska. And then suddenly they whipped together a Billiken Classic at Chaffetz Arena with SIUE and LSU among those coming. It will be on KMOX. 10:45 this morning, head coach Travis Ford. Before that, Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr., the radio team together for their 30th season, will be right here from my garage happy hour. That is coming up shortly at 11:30. John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations. Eli Drinkwitz, the Mizzou coach, at 11:45. And the Tigers with a nice win yesterday over South Carolina. Now, I understand South Carolina is dealing with a lot of things. They have some injuries of their own. They just fired their coach, Will Muschamp. But I'll tell you, that's a solid win for a Missouri team that is hampered by COVID-19. In fact, they didn't have their defensive coordinator. They didn't have their, let me go back to that for just a minute. Okay. They did not have their defensive coordinator. That is a big thing. And right before the game starts too, they start to put some things out there that they're not going to have people. And they start to realize that, I mean, Ryan Walters didn't travel with him. He was back home in quarantine, but they didn't have a lot of players on defense in their defensive backfield, their nose tackle. The roster was a 1AA roster, says Eli Drinkwitz, but that the guys were fighting. Walters did not test positive for COVID-19, but he has missed practice due to protocol. So they gave the assignment to David Gibbs, the cornerbacks coach. He was the coordinator yesterday, did it from the sideline, and without a lot of defensive players and their D coordinator, Missouri played very good defense, and they beat South Carolina 17-10. They were up 17-0 early and held them off in the second half and won the ball game. Illinois looked good. They scored 28 points in the first half. That's the first time in 10 years they've done that in the first half against a Big Ten opponent, and they went on the road again. Another road win for them, 41-23 over Nebraska. Nebraska turned the ball over five times. That's not going to get it done. And it's their first win in Lincoln since 1924 for the University of Illinois. Lovie Smith has been saying good things about this football team, and now they're starting to come true with a couple of nice wins for them. They beat Nebraska 41-23. In the top 25, number one Alabama had no problem against Kentucky, 63-3. Number three, Ohio State, up 35-7 on Indiana in the second half. Watch that game get very close, but they come away with a win, 42-35 over the number nine team in the nation. Number three, Ohio State's running back, Master Teague, was very good. Career-high 169 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. Indiana's quarterback, Michael Penix, had 491 yards passing, 27 for 51 for 491 and five touchdowns, outplaying the Heisman Trophy candidate Justin Fields. And Indiana, down by four touchdowns, made it a one-score game and actually had a chance late to possibly win it on a drive, but could not. 42-35, they lose that ball game. The number one team in the SEC East is Florida. They're the number six team in the country. They beat Vanderbilt 38-17. The second-ranked team in the SEC East is Georgia. They won and looked pretty good with their quarterback, JT Daniels. Quite a debut between the hedges, 401 yards, four touchdowns, beating Mississippi State 31-24. The number three team in the SEC East is Missouri, improving to 3-3 with that victory yesterday. We will take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk some college basketball with Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. from my garage happy hour. And then Travis Ford will be with us at 10:45 on Sports on a Sunday Morning. We'll get more into college football and the NFL on the way after the 11 o'clock news, and a lot of good stuff to come. The Chiefs play tonight on KMOX. That one starts at 7:20. Our pregame will begin at 6. This is the home of the Cardinals, the Billikens, and the Chiefs, KMOX.
From KMOX Sports,
here's the pitch.
Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Oh, yeah!
on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We're live. What were you saying earlier? You can say it for everybody. It's all right. Was it?
And as KMOX, I wanted to pass along my sympathies for loss of Bob Hamilton. I know he was the guy.
He was great.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, we definitely are mourning the loss of Bob Hamilton. Gosh, he loved you guys. I mean, he really, really did. I've got so many Hamilton stories, but he meant a lot to me. You know, when I first started, by the way, this is our 30 years together Billiken broadcast team, Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. I cannot wait to talk to you about them. But Bob Hamilton, who just passed away at the age of 82, he was terrific. You know, when I first started, I was really young. I mean, I started at KMOX at 22. I was 23, and I was on the air. And I remember the first time I did a sports open line, you know, it was on a Saturday, and I walked out of the studio and came into the newsroom, and Bob goes, "Oh, fooled him again, Tom." I'm like, "Thank you, Bob." You know, and he was very encouraging and just, you know, he didn't have to do that, but for a kid, he loved young broadcasters just helping them along. And Bob Ramsey, didn't he have some voice, Bob Hamilton? Just amazing.
It was great, and it was special. And the little things, the little special things about Bob, and it's just, to me, part of being a St. Louisan, and it was part of Cardinal broadcast lore. And I can't do the voice, but he would say, "Now back to the ballpark, here's Jack Buck." And just, you can always count on that. You know what I mean? When it's every time, and it's when you can, you know, you can count on those things as a regular piece of what you're doing. It's fantastic.
And this is what it looked like. So I would produce for him, and he'd say, "Back to the ballpark, here's Jack." He'd punch the air a little bit, like a little punch.
Yeah, nice.
And he just was so the Cardinals pregame show used to be the Bill Reeker or Bob Hamilton doing it. Like, they would pitch it to the elements, as you said, like, "It's time for Bucket Bat, here's Jack." Or they'd be like, "Let's go to Roger Brand in the Jetcopter One," and Roger would be looking over the parking lots and letting you know where to go. And, you know, so the pregame show was actually those guys.
It was special.
He was no question a great voice. Earl Austin Jr., thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate it. I know that you're a longtime listener of ours, and Earl, we're so glad to be back with you as well.
It's a pleasure. It was great news to hear and have your 30th season doing Billiken basketball, our 30th season together on KMOX. Hopefully it's going to be a treat. I'm really looking forward to this year.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. 35th year for you, Rammer. Gosh, what a run. And it's that, has it gone by fast? Has it gone by, do you remember your first broadcast? What has it been like?
Sometime. Yeah, you broke up a second. Has it gone by fast? It's almost been my whole adult life, and it's been a good way to spend it. Jim Bakken, the great Cardinal kicker, hired me. And I came in with Anthony Bonner, one of the Billiken greats in the 80s. And Earl followed suit right after that. And then sometimes, and we'll talk about things that, you know, Charlie Spoonauer, Lorenzo Romar, Rich Grauer, and those things seem like yesterday. And then you start to think about it, Earl, it's 20, 25, 30 years ago. It's hard to imagine that all that time has gone by. Yeah, but the memories are kind of compressed. They seem like yesterday. Now, my memory is not the greatest for facts. That's why Earl's always with me to correct me whenever I'm wrong. And that's one of the reasons it's a good partnership.
It is fun. And it's funny when we first started doing the games together, you know, we're almost closer to the age of the players. So it's like we're doing the game with younger brothers. And now as we're getting older, you know. And
grandpas. So
we're watching our sons play. And it's like, we're in father territory here. And I think our attitudes have changed too with the you know, it's great kids, and I think it kind of keeps you young.
It does.
We have some great guys who have Been stewards of the program, as Rammer has mentioned, Spoon, Lorenzo, Brad, Rich, now Travis, Bamboo, anybody in the great assistant coaches, but just to see the kids through the years. And then now you see the kids at the games with their families watching these new Billiken players too as well. And when you see alumni night, you see 100 former Billikens from the 40s to the 2000s and 21st century scattered from one end of the court to the other. And most of those guys are season ticket holders, so they're at games anyway, and it's always fun. And, you know, brings back so many memories of the games we called when they were playing.
Wow, 30 years together. Bob Ramsey, I was not a math major at Indiana University, but if I'm doing this right, you're talking a little over 30 games a year, 30 years. You're approaching 1,000 games together. Could that be right?
You know, I think I think because we've been real fortunate with NITs and other tournaments, I think our great SID, Brian Kunderman, looked it up, and I think we're like 1,100 games or something like
wow.
that. It's crazy. It's insane.
Do you have – this is a tough question now. Is there a favorite? Do you have
I don't know that I can
all?
Pick out one favorite game. I think that first time back, Earl – when the Billikens beat Minnesota in Baltimore in overtime, because it was the first time back in ages. That was really special. But I tell you, those NCAA tournament wins and conference tournament championships, they really stand out. And then we could probably pick out a handful of regular season games, beating number 2 Louisville and big showdown games. But if I was forced to pick one, I think it would be because it was the first time back to the dance, beating Minnesota in a big upset in the NCAA tournament regional in Baltimore. Actually, not the first time back, the first victory, because the year before we were the first team in and out of the tournament when we played against Maryland, the great Joe Smith Maryland team. We played in Wichita, and I was back home in St. Louis watching the night games. It was like we weren't even in the tournament. But then the next year we played and beat Minnesota.
Wow. Earl, do you feel the same?
Yeah, collectively, two moments. The first, obviously, when we went that conference championship in Memphis, and that was one game. It was four games. We were the 9th seed, and we won 4 games in 4 days. And won the NCAA tournament bid, won the Conference USA tournament. That Conference USA was a great league back then.
It was.
And it was weird. We and Rammer, I don't think we only packed for 2 or 3 days because we were playing since.
Yeah, Kenyon Martin, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think what really got both of us was we were watching them cut the nets down, and then Lorenzo Romar called me and Rammer and said, Earl Rammer, come over here. And he called us over there and let us participate in the net cutting ceremony. And, you know, to have that happen for me, because I know that's like sacred ground for the coaches and players. I'm like, I was almost hesitant to do it. That was that, because those are the guys that put the work in to make that happen. And for Lorenzo to call us over and make us part of that sacred ceremony to cut the nets down after winning the championship. I think I still have that piece of net somewhere.
I do too. I do too.
20 years ago when that happened. And I think the other one moment was 1993-94 season. It was Spoon's second year. And we got out of the gate 8-0, and we were playing in the old arena. And we were still in solid 10 or 12,000. And to make it look even bigger, remember they put the tarp up there on the upper deck because there was nobody sitting. Well, we were playing SIU Carbondale like on December, like 2 or 3 days after Christmas, and we were rolling. We were 8-0, and then all of a sudden, everybody showed up. There was a party. Spoon threw a party and oversold the house, and they literally had to delay the game almost an hour because they had to pull the tarp off of the upper area for, and it was almost 18,000 people there in the arena. So that was the first time where, and then all of a sudden, The arena was packed from there on out, and then we went into the Kiel Center at the time. We were putting 22,000, but that first night when we played the Salukis, when they had to pull the tarp off, and of course we aged and the flag put on a show, and we put up 90 on the Salukis, and that moment there was like, boy, we really arrived. We really went to another level at that night.
Oh, you're so right. Gosh, I love that team.
And you know what, Tom? And that led us to getting back on KMOX in the 90s in the glory days of Spoonball and being a part of KMOX and Spoonball and the coaches' shows and, you know, moments like that. Earl, the game when we were doing the post-game show and Mr. Buck and Mr. Costas walk over. Remember that?
We played Kansas on ESPN, and the great Justin Love, who we just lost, God rest his soul, at 24 points. And we upset Kansas on national TV, ESPN, and Troy Robertson, who was with us, was playing against his brother, Ryan Robertson. And Troy had a real good game against Big Brother that night. But as you said, we beat the Jayhawks. Everybody was celebrating. You know, Spoon bought everybody. It was Blues, Cardinals. Everybody came to the game when Spoon had a role. And so Spoon sits down between me and Rammer to do his the post-game show. Then all of a sudden, Bob Costas comes from the front and congratulates Spoon. And then, of course, that voice from the back, the game, Spoon. We didn't even say anything. We just looked at each other, and we pulled our headsets off and handed over the mic set. So that night, the Billiken Nation was treated to a post-game show with Spoon, Jack Buck, and Bob Costas. And they went for about 15, 20 minutes. It was
great.
They did a show, and it was a tremendous night that time.
Boy, they really, really liked each other, Charlie Spooner and Jack Buck. What great friends. Man, what great friends. And you're so right. That H. Waldman team, I think about that team and all, the team that beat Kansas. I was at that game, too, against KU. I can remember Troy running off the court in victory, and it was just such an amazing time. And in between there, the Larry Hughes experience. Like, how would you explain that year to somebody who wasn't there?
Well, just the greatness. The minute he walked on the court, in fact, Spoon would tell a story about a coach's meeting before the season began, and he said all of his assistant coaches were debating on how to play and what to do and X's and O's and how to enhance. And Spoon said, "You rockheads, calm down. Obviously, you've never coached a great player before," and just left it at that. And it was the Spoon and Larry show, no doubt about it.
It was like traveling with a rock star. I mean, we were a mid-major type program and had done some. We had been to the NCAA tournament a couple of times. Good players, but when usually when you're McDonald's All-American, you think of Kentucky, Duke, Kansas. Well, for the first time, we had one of our own. And he put on for the city. He was unbelievable. 35 here, 40 here, 29 here, packing houses, and people were coming, talking. It didn't matter. You know, Doug McElhaga, SID. You know, his plate was full. Everybody wanted to see this kid and talk about this kid. And the fact that we got one, and it was unbelievable. Larry, we talk about, me and Ram always talk about the Marquette game in Milwaukee. And this is a place where we've struggled offensively. There were nights where we'd score 40, 50 points, and we'd really struggle against Marquette. Well, Larry was on a scoring rampage, and then we opened up the paper, and they had talked to a coach, Mike Dean, a very good coach, and he asked him, I guess, you going to guard Larry any different? Or are you going to, you know, double team? He said, no, we're just going to play our straight-up defense. We saw that in the paper, we eat breakfast.
They try and get up on him. He just stepped back further and shoot another three, and
Larry hit 40. Hit 40. He won a. Well, it was impossible to win at Marquette. H and Scotty and Clagg won it in the conference tournament, but we hadn't won there since then. And Larry hit 40, and it was just like that. It was a blessing to have him. It was some year to have.
Oh man, I love hearing that. I get chills just thinking about that stuff. I love that stuff. And you mentioned H. Waldman and Irwin Klagen and Scott Highmark. Like, what an incredible trio that was. And then, Spoonball was so much fun. It was so exciting. But I do want to go back to something that you said in the beginning, Rammer, and that is Rich Grauer. Like, what a job he did putting SLU back on the map. I remember in 1986 with my fifth grade, or it was my fifth grade basketball team, we went to Kiel Auditorium because SLU was playing Georgia Tech, number one team in the country, came into town. Yeah. They lost the game, but the place was charged up, and you knew SLU was on the map. SLU was back. Rich Grauer did some job, didn't he?
He did, and about 5 years before that, it was a precarious situation on whether, you know, St. Louis U was going to have Division I athletics, obviously led by basketball, and Rich, who had had a year as an assistant at Missouri, comes back home, takes over the Billikens, and he had a plan, and within 5 years, this was a competitive team, and with 6 or 7 years, it was a darn good team, and he built with a core of local players just did a marvelous job in resurrecting the program. And he put in the building blocks that I think we're still feeling today, from Spoon to Romar to Soderberg to Majerus and on down the line, and obviously how terrific Travis is now. But those building blocks and showing how a core of local players, because the basketball here was good enough to do that, You can build the program from inside out, from St. Louis out, and that it could work, and he proved it.
We're going to continue this conversation with Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr., get Earl's thoughts on Rich Grauer, and as we run down the line of coaches, it was really a fun conversation, so I'm calling an audible here, and I want to continue this after the 11 o'clock news. Travis Ford is next. He's going to join us live just after 10:45. Then I want to go back to this because there's some great stories in here from Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. on Lorenzo Romar. They already told one there. Brad Soderberg, Rick Majerus, Jim Cruz, and their thoughts on this current team, Travis Ford and the Billikens. Travis Ford is next. We're going to talk to him about it here on the home of the Billikens, KMOX.
From KMOX Sports. Here's the pitch. Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to the show. 10:47. I was just reminiscing during the commercial. We were talking about Jack Buck and Charlie Spoonhour being great friends. They co-hosted an evening special one time. And I'm going to try to find this. Maybe we have some time to play this before we go, James. But they introduce Stan Musial as their guest on the phone. And Stan says hi. Oh, and our other guest, Jack, says, let's go to Ted Williams. Hi, Ted. Hi, Jack. Stan, Charlie. It's like, what? Yeah. Oh, those are fun times. Joining us on the line is the outstanding head coach at St. Louis University, Travis Ford, who has been on the Garage Happy Hour, as a matter of fact. We were just listening to Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. on the Garage Happy Hour. Coach, we're going to play a little more of that after the 11 o'clock news. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, doing great. Appreciate you having me on. Yeah, that was good times. The Garage Happy Hour was a lot of fun.
It was fun. Well, I can't believe that was 3 months ago. I just played some of it. I reposted it on Twitter because we announced that KMOX is, we officially now we're able to say it. We've known this for a little while, but it's nice to say it. We are the home of the St. Louis Billikens. It's just a great feel. I just love being back with you, Coach. How do you all feel from your side of things?
We are ultra excited. Everyone is at St. Louis University. The whole Billiken Athletic Department is excited. I think it's going to be an incredible partnership. I was just talking to Rammer, I think either yesterday or the day before, and we were just talking about just how great it is and how great it's going to be for Billiken basketball, and we're just excited about the partnership.
Yeah, we're fired up too. We're flexible. I mean, we're ready to go. Whatever. We were just sort of like day by day, like, well, when we know the schedule, we're going to air it. So we're just going to stand by. And now we know. And it happened quickly, didn't it? Like, you were on your way to Nebraska. You were going to play in Nebraska. And suddenly you were hosting the Billiken Classic on Wednesday against SIUE and LSU. And the University of Health Sciences and Pharmacy in St. Louis will also be part of that tournament, Travis.
Yeah, it is. Things did happen quick, and you're exactly right. Everything's day-to-day at this point. You do the best you can, and you're right. We were headed to Nebraska, and, you know, kind of the first domino to fall is our first game was supposed to have been Northern Iowa, and then Wednesday morning, Northern Iowa pulls out, and So things started kind of, triggered from there. And then obviously, you know, we just thought it'd be the best thing to stay at home, safety wise, the different things like that. So we're excited to be able to stay here and hopefully get a few games under our belt. We've got some good teams we're playing against to start the season off. With SIU, Edwardsville, and then LSU. So, it's the season's here. You know, it's right around the corner, and I think our players, more than anybody, I think our players are ready to play against somebody besides their own teammates every day. They're anxious to get started.
Brian Baroni and the SIUE team. It's nice to be able to have a neighbor like that and to pull something together very quickly, isn't it?
It is. Coach Baroni's really, I think, doing a great job. He's just beginning his second year. He's brought in a lot of new talent. I think they have 8 new players on their team. They've got a big man, a transfer from UConn that was a top 75 high school player in the country. And he's bringing in some talent. So he's building their program up over there. So that's going to be a good game for us. And he's, again, somebody that's doing a great job. And then obviously LSU in the second game.
Yep, we'll have the game. It's SIUE and SLU on Wednesday at 6 o'clock leading into Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Day, the schedule has, and this is available, KMOX.com has it, so does SLUBillikens.com, SIUE and LSU on Thanksgiving Day. Then you all will take the Friday off of playing a game, and then Saturday the doubleheader has St. Louis against LSU and SIUE against the University of Health Sciences and Pharmacy in St. Louis. These will not be held with fans. There will be no fans at Chaffetz Arena, and that's another day-to-day thing. We're just trying to feel this out to see if eventually we can get some fans in that building.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's disappointing that we can't have fans or the players' families there. It's very disappointing, but we understand. We get it. You see that across the country. There are some schools that aren't allowing fans, and there's a lot that are having 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 at a smaller capacity. It's just the times we're in. But what I hate mostly is that some of our families of the players, the moms and dads and different people, can't get in to watch their sons play. That's disappointing. But again, it is what it is. And, we understand, the times we're going through, but we're anxious to hopefully sometime soon be able to get the fans back into Chaffetz Arena and make it the special place that it is.
Because we know how special this team is. This is a very good basketball team, and it has yet to play a game, but you can just see the talent on that roster. You're deep. What do you like most just overall about what you've seen in practice?
Probably the thing that has stood out is the competitive nature of our guys. They really compete in every drill. They compete to win every competition. And I think it usually stems from Jordan Goodwin. You know, he's the ultimate competitor, and it's contagious to everyone else. That has stood out. It's been fun. I would say that, Jordan, Hassan French have been probably the most consistent players, and Javonte Perkins. But it's been fun to see some of the younger players really coming along, like Gibson Jimerson's really played well. Jimmy Bell, who's been hurt, has come back and practiced in the last week or so, and we're excited about where he's at. Young man that no one's seen play yet, a freshman named Markai Strickland, probably the most improved player on our team from where we started practice to where we're at right now. Fred Thatch is back healthy, things of those. And TJ Hargrove's been nursing a little bit of a minor foot issue, but I think he'll be ready to go by this coming week. So it's just been fun to see different players step up day to day. Everybody's kind of had their moments over the last 4 weeks of practice, but the competitiveness, and it's very unusual, hasn't wavered from day to day, Todd. It's there. It seems to be there every single day. Some days we play better than others. And what I mean by that is some days the shots go in more than others. Some days we turn it over more than others. And, we have days we play really well, and we have days we don't play so well. But the competitiveness and the work ethic hasn't wavered.
Yeah, that tells me you like your defense, or at least you like the effort that you're seeing, you know? I mean, that's what it takes. It really is, isn't it?
That's the bottom line. You know, it sounds like you were in our staff meeting yesterday, because there's been a lot of days that we haven't looked so good offensively, to say the least, and we just go back. Our defense has been very, very good, especially when you know your own plays, and we've been practicing for a while now. But I do think our defense is going to carry us. It needs to be our identity, because it is our strength. And I believe our players have really bought into that, and they enjoy being good at defense, but it's got to carry over every single game.
I'm excited to see a lot of the size that you have. Obviously, Hassan French is 6'7", 240, but he seems bigger than that to me. Jordan Goodwin's 6'3", but he plays like he's about 6'9". I mean, he goes after every ball. He's a great rebounding guard. The player that just intrigues me beyond belief is Javonte Perkins. I just can't wait to see him play in this season. The 6'6 guard forward from St. Louis, Miller Career Academy. He's a senior. What makes him go, in your estimation?
What makes him go is he just has the unique ability. I've seen these players, you know, they come around, not a lot, but they do come around, that just has a unique ability to put the ball in the hole. And that's something you really can't teach. Now, we try to put him in the right spots and do different things, but he has the ability to make tough shots. He's got a very soft shot with, you know, the perfect arc. But he can score from three. He shot, I think, like 38% or so, or maybe better, from three last year. He's got, I think, maybe the best mid-range pull-up in the game in college basketball. I know I'm a little biased. He's 80%, above 80% free throw shooter. So he can score at all levels, which is very unusual nowadays, very unusual. And, you know, usually you're just a three-point shooter, or somebody's just a one-on-one player. He can do a little bit of all of it. Now, the challenge right now for him, Tom, and we've tried to, you know, talk to him about this every day, is he's not surprising anybody anymore. You know, last year, I think Javonte caught a lot of people by surprise, even late in the year. I know he had some big games. He averaged almost 18 points a game in league play, but he wasn't a starter. So, things like that, and he was such a new player. I don't think he ever gained that the respect that he has right now. So now he's going to have to perform without sneaking up on anyone. So he's got to be ready. Javonte has a tendency to try to turn it off and on sometimes. And, you know, we've tried to counsel him and tell him those days are over, because you're not hiding from anyone. Everybody's going to bring their best defender at you, and you've got to be prepared. So he does have that unique ability to put the ball in the hole.
Started one game for you last year, but played in 31, averaged 15 a game. I'm excited to see what he can do, that's for sure. I'm excited to see your team and to get it going here on KMOX. Travis Ford, always appreciate the visits very, very much. Thank you.
My pleasure, Tom. Appreciate you having me. Thanks a lot.
Be well. We'll be back after the 11 o'clock news.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.